Welcome to No More Desire. My name's Jake Castleman. I've had personal experience with what it takes to get clean and stay clean of porn. And now I'm helping others just like you break free and step into their new life. Through one-on-one coaching, daily check-ins, and life-changing material, I help others break free of porn and never look back. To discover how you can overcome porn addiction, go to nomoredesire.com. Hey, what's going on, guys? This is Jake Castleman with No More Desire. Welcome to today's show. Today, I want to talk about a lie that we're told about addiction. We're often told that addiction is just a bad habit. We need to abstain from it. We need to get over our impulsivity. We need to just get the right mental techniques and really set our mind on being sober. We need to just say no to the habit, no to these cravings and urges. Or we just need to distract ourselves. With porn addiction in particular, right? That's kind of all addictions generally, where we can be told things like that. But with porn addiction in particular, we're often told that it comes because of sexual urges, that these sexual urges that are natural just get kind of out of hand, and that we need to learn how to control those urges. We need to maybe breathe through them and be mindful of them. And I'm here to tell you that all of this is a bunch of crap, all right? Some of these things have merit, they have a bit of truth, but it ultimately misses the mark in a really big way. And it misses the mark, first and foremost, because overcoming addiction is about developing a new mindset and lifestyle. One that supports a sober life, a sober mind, a recovery mindset, a recovery lifestyle, right? That is what needs to be developed in order to overcome addiction. And when we can develop that mindset and that lifestyle, the addictive behavior itself, which is a symptom of lifestyle and mindset, naturally fades away because we have no more desire for it. That is what we are trying to develop as recovering addicts. We need to broaden our perspective on addiction. And that's what we're going to talk about today. So, addiction itself is anything that we want to stop, but feel we can't, despite the negative consequences. So again, pay attention to that. Addiction, right? So whatever we think of as addiction, right? We might think of addiction as drugs or alcohol or porn, or we might think of it as maybe overeating. That's something we now understand. Food can be an addiction. But I really want to broaden our perspective on this, because an addiction can be anything, even something that can seem good, like productivity or work or nutrition or exercise. We can become addicted to any of these things. And I don't mean that we should stop our nutrition or stop working or stop exercising, but when they get out of hand, they get obsessive and extreme, right? They're out of balance. Maybe our exercise is taking too much of a central role in our lives and it's overtaking time that we would otherwise spend with family, right? Or maybe our work has become the center of our lives rather than our family and God and our community. And so it's anything we want to stop. Let's say I want to be more focused on my family, but I feel that I can't because I'm just so hyper set on work and in fear that if I don't get things done in time, that I'll be held accountable for that. I'll be unreliable for my team. I'll be in trouble, right? Or that if I don't do things to a high enough quality, I won't be able to provide for my family, right? This very fear-oriented perspective, fear plays a big role in addiction. And addiction ultimately is not the issue. Okay, it is a problem, right? And this is what I help my clients overcome. But I don't help them overcome the addiction by talking very much about stopping the behavior itself. We have this unwanted behavior, We want to get rid of it. But the way that I teach people to do that is by taking very specific steps in their lifestyle and their mindset as they work through the program over several months to develop a recovery mindset, a recovery lifestyle. There are multiple elements of that lifestyle and mindset that are crucial. They are central to our recovery, and we need to develop them in order to overcome. So the addiction itself causes pain, right? It does cause pain, but it is not the source of that pain. Addiction itself causes pain, but it is not the source of that pain. So ultimately, if we want to break it into sections, and the addiction and recovery spheres are really telling in this, they've helped people that I work with give them a completely different perspective on addiction and what it takes to recover. And if you want to see those addiction and recovery spheres, I recommend downloading my ebook. Just go to nomoredesire.com. It has those spheres. Those are the basis of all the teachings in the ebook, and it gives you the 7 causes of addiction and the 7 solutions for recovery. So again, nomoredesire.com, download that free ebook there, and it will lay out these causes and these solutions in these addiction and recovery spheres that really are just an excellent visual, just a 1-page visual for seeing exactly where addiction comes from and exactly how we recover. But if we break it out into sections, ultimately, addiction is a symptom of underlying mental, spiritual, relational, and physical suffering. Okay, it's suffering in the mental, spiritual, relationships, and physical areas of our lives. Maybe imbalances, maybe things are out of balance. Maybe we don't spend enough time actually building quality relationships. We are too busy going after our own hobbies and interests, or too busy watching Netflix, too busy on YouTube playing video games. What have you. Maybe we're just very distracted with thinking of all these ways to numb out and escape our lives. And so this distracts from our relationships. Maybe there's a lot of conflict in our relationships, right? Maybe particularly with our spouse. Maybe all of this conflict causes a lot of pain and suffering that we are then trying to run from and escape from through our addiction. Very common reason that people go to addiction, specifically porn addiction, is what I've seen with that, because it is something that for someone who is, you know, in a married relationship, it's something they can easily hide. It's not like drugs or like alcohol that's far harder to hide. But obviously those can be crutches or destructive mechanisms as well for coping with pain. Just depends on our drug of choice. It's all the same mechanism in the brain. Just depends on our drug of choice. Kind of what our mind has latched onto based on multiple factors. So we have relationships, right? And if we're talking about, again, the 4 things I laid out there, mental, spiritual, relational, and physical. So if we talk about, let's say, the mental state in our lives, what do we deal with, right? Every single addict I've ever worked with or spoken to or been in 12-step meetings with or, you know, just met out in general life, right? All of them have mental health issues, every single one. And it's my belief that those mental health issues come first. And I shouldn't say it's my belief. This is also studied and researched, and it's clearly laid out. But these mental health issues start first. Then the addiction comes, and the addiction makes those mental health issues worse. Again, the mental health issues like anxiety, depression, perfectionism, maybe a negative attitude, right? Just a pessimistic outlook on life, or really being very judgmental of ourselves and other people. Not that that makes us a bad person, but maybe we've just built those habits of thinking that way. That's okay. We can change those habits. And I speak from personal experience on that. We can change and think in a new and different way. We can be a better person towards ourselves and those around us. And also, when we become less judgmental of ourselves, we naturally become less judgmental of others. That's how that works. So if we can work on this mental state, right, the things we go through mentally in our lives, anxiety, depression, perfectionism, negativity, hopelessness, being really hard on ourselves, overly critical of ourselves, right? Maybe we get hyper-fixated on details about what other people do, about what we do, and it's too much. It's too much pressure. Maybe we don't realize we do it. And that hyper-fixation on details can be a great strength when used properly, but when used in a destructive means, it can be a great means of a lot of friction between those around us and of friction within, ultimately. And it can cut us off from God. It cuts us off from God. It cuts us off from others. And it cuts us off from the light of God that's within us, or this eternal self, as some call it, right? Every different religion has a different name for that eternal self. So what can we do about those things in our lifestyle or our mindset? How can we change what we're going through mentally? We are not powerless. I want to make this clear. There are a lot of teachings out there these days that say we are powerless against things like anxiety, depression, perfectionism, that it's just the way that we are, OCD, right? This is not the case. This is not the case, all right? I have dealt with all of those things in my life to very extreme extents at different points. And I have become significantly better through improving my spiritual life, my relationships, my physical health through nutrition and exercise, and also through mental practices and exercises, and big time lifestyle changes to the way that I live my life. Which again, if you can be taken through a step-by-step process with someone to do hands-on exercises to change those habits, you can change it too. And I do it with people every day. So you're not powerless against it, my friend. You can change it. So with reference to our spiritual lives, what does our spiritual life look like? Are we connecting with God on a daily basis? Are we connecting with our spirit on a daily basis, right? Are we actually getting in tune with the eternal, with the spiritual, with the holy? Are we reading of inspiring words, whatever religion we might be, right? Or whatever kind of capacity or belief system we might have. There are a lot of beautiful writings out there that are highly inspirational, right? I'm Christian, so I love to read the Bible. I'm also LDS, so I read the Book of Mormon. That's my gig, right? That's where I live at. I cherish those books. So I read of those. I read of some other holy words from inspired people, and those lift me up on a daily basis. So what are those things for you? What are you reading on a daily basis? This is going to help you get close to God. And when we're close to God, we have that deeper connection with the other side that we crave. And that's going to replace our cravings for worldly things and things that ultimately do not give us joy. And then we need to be, of course, praying and connecting with our Father in heaven. We need to be keeping up that consistent connection. I had an experience a little while ago in a conversation with someone. They were talking about how, you know, they don't understand why God needs their prayers. And I flipped that on them. It's not that God needs your prayers. It's that you need to pray for your own sake. God doesn't need your prayers. God doesn't need you to worship him. God is an all-powerful being. He knows all things. He's in and through all things, right? That's how his spirit works. He doesn't need your prayers. He wants to hear from you. He wants you to speak to him, but I think ultimately that's for our benefit and blessing. When we are focusing on positive things, we're focusing on serving other people, right? We're praying about that. We're praying for other people's well-being. We're praying and thinking thoughts of gratitude. Right? We're praying and asking for good things to happen in our lives so that we can do more good in the world, so that we can bring stability and peace to our family and to our home. When we're focusing on those things and praying for them, it's doing two things for us. It's calling on the power of God, right? However that works, we don't understand how that works. We don't understand how his spirit is in and through all things and how that functions. That's okay, we don't understand that. Then from a psychological perspective, which I believe is interconnected, it's one and the same in a lot of ways with faith, right? From a psychological perspective, we get focused on those things of gratitude, positivity, light, faith, and that is going to influence our lives to bring our lives peace. And the only reason we have the ability to do that at all, the only reason we have consciousness in the first place is because God created us. Otherwise, we wouldn't have the ability to have that faith or that focus on good things or that placebo effect, quote unquote, that sometimes is referred to. The placebo effect does not negate God's existence. The placebo effect contributes to the truth of God's existence. It further proves that he is there because we have the capacity in the first place for something like placebo effect to have any type of influence on our lives, right? I hope that makes sense. So then physical, okay, how can we improve our physical lives? And what impact that does that have on recovery? It has everything to do with recovery. It's one of the pillars of my program is physical well-being, nutrition, exercise, okay? Again, I take you through step-by-step exercises to do that, to be able to change these habits so that we can improve our mental well-being. The way that I eat, and the way and how active I am on a daily basis, I'm out, I'm moving, I'm outside, I'm in the sun, I'm feeling good, I'm lifting weights, I'm playing sports, whatever that is for you, right? That helps us feel energized. It helps us feel happy, right? It helps, and I will say from personal experience and from speaking to others, what you eat can directly influence your anxiety or depression. What level is it at? Okay, it doesn't mean that you can eat perfectly and then you'll have no anxiety or depression. I'm not saying that. Anxiety and depression comes from what we, how our physical health is, right? Which contributes to our biology and our neurotransmitters, those things in our brain that give us feel-good chemicals, right? Where those are at depends a lot on what we eat. And I've gone into that in other episodes. There's another episode, how what we eat impacts addiction. I believe it's episode 18 or something of that effect. You can learn more about that there, but what we eat impacts that. The trauma from our past, the things we're not forgiving ourselves for or forgiving other people for, that's going to impact how susceptible we are to anxiety and depression and perfectionism, okay, which are all interlinked. They're all coming from the same place. They're all coming from this place of darkness. How are we going to fill our lives with light? How are we going to help our bodies and heal our bodies? And how are we going to heal our relationships and improve those? In order to increase our capacity for recovery and decrease our cravings for addiction. Do you understand how that works? Do you see that? It's all an ecosystem, an internal and an external ecosystem. Wherever our mind is at and wherever our life is at influences our addiction or recovery. And if we get our lives in balance and into a good place physically, mentally, spiritually, and relationally, then it increases the chances that we will get sober because our cravings for addiction will dissipate. So again, we need to broaden our perspective of recovery. It's not just to stop using. That has only so much to do with getting sober. To stop the behavior is a necessary factor, but that comes through the mindset and lifestyle of recovery. So if we want to quit porn addiction, we need to build that recovery mindset and lifestyle. And ultimately, again, recovery is going to be a symptom of that lifestyle. Just as addiction is a symptom of mental, spiritual, relational, and physical suffering, recovery is a symptom of mental, spiritual, relational, and physical wellness. So if you want to experience what that's like, if you want to take this to the next level, if you want to learn step by step and all the exercises to do to develop this mindset and lifestyle of recovery so you can lose your cravings for addiction, join my program. Go to nomoredesire.com/program. and you will find out everything about the program there. You can set up a 30-minute call with me, apply for the program, and I would love to meet with you, my friend. The stuff that I do with addicts on a daily basis, it is based in psychology allied with spiritual principles. So I will take you through practical methods to change your mindset and your lifestyle so that you can not only overcome your addiction, but immensely improve your life in general, improve your relationships, improve your mental and emotional well-being. I can help you gain the life that you have dreamed of. Okay, because it's the life that I live on a daily basis. It doesn't mean I don't have weaknesses. It doesn't mean I don't have insecurities. But my life has become so much better by following specific steps to get there. Same steps that I'm teaching others to do. Last but not least, my friend, please rate this podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, if it helped you, rate this podcast. Go into wherever you're at, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, whatever it might be. Click on the podcast itself and give me a rating and tell me what you think. I would love to hear how it has helped you, my friend. God bless and much love. Everything expressed on the No More Desire podcast are the opinions of the host and participants and is for informational and educational purposes only. This podcast should not be considered mental health therapy or as a substitute thereof. It is strongly recommended that you seek out the clinical guidance of a qualified mental health professional. If you're experiencing thoughts of suicide, self-harm, or a desire to harm others, please dial 911 or go to your nearest emergency room.